Okay, good morning, everyone. For the Hanukkah, good Chodesh. So we're going to pick up again from the Gemara that we had just begun to look at last time, which is in the two dots on Gimel Amid Beis, referring to the halachos about building a shul and destroying a shul and when one can rebuild a shul, renovations of a shul. So we're going to start this sugya, and then we're going to see it goes into an agada to Gemara that actually might be appropriate for Hanukkah, as we'll see. So here we go. Amar Rav Chista, Rav Chista says, Lo listor inish beknishta debani beknishta achriti. It's the two dots about halfway down the narrow lines on Gimel Amid Beis. Amrav Chista, exactly. So Amrav Chista, Rav Chista says, "Lolistar inish beknishta debani beknishta achriti." You may not dismantle or destroy a shul until you've already rebuilt the first one. I think last time we used the Yankee Stadium model, right? You can't knock down Yankee Stadium until you build the new one. Once the new one is used, then you can turn the other one into a parking lot, whatever you want. Ika da Amri. Option number two, Mishum Shiusa. There are those that say that the reason why you're not allowed to do that is because if you knock it down, you may never rebuild it. So we don't want you to be negligent about it, and therefore we require you to pre-build. It's like a deposit. Put the new building up, and then you can take care of the old one. Fine. V'ika d'amri, and the others say, Mishum Saluye, because you need a place to daven. So what's the difference in approach? Ika b'nayu, dika b'knishta achriti. Right? One possible distinction between these two reasons is if you have another place to daven. Right? If there's another shul in the neighborhood, so even if your shul is knocked down, okay, so you go to the other shul, fine. But if it's about negligence, because we don't want shuls to be destroyed, so then it has nothing to do with whether or not there are other shuls in the neighborhood. We would not allow you to build to knock down a shul until you had already built the new one. Fine. Mureimar Umar Zutra Sasri Ubanu Bekaita Besisva Ubanu Besisva Bekaita. Mureimar Umar Zutra, they used to dismantle parts of their shuls and rebuild them on a seasonal basis. So the Rashi describes the way this would work is that they would have the walls of the shul would be removable. So think like big Lego blocks. You take them out to make more windows during the summer when you want cool air to flow in. And when it's cold outside and you want it to be warm in, so you build up the walls so that there's fewer windows and less air coming through, and therefore it stays warmer inside. Fine. So Amar le Ravina le Ravashi. Now here's the question that's interesting from our sugya. Ravina says to Ravashi, Gavu zuzi umachti mai. If you've collected money and now it's sitting in an account, what's the halacha? Are you allowed to destroy the old shul now? Meaning, remember, working with the assumption that the Gemara's halacha is that nishum pshiusa, that you might be negligent in your responsibilities towards rebuilding rebuilding the shul. So what if you have the money already? Right? So it's not a question of it's never going to get collected, it's never going to get built. You have it. It's sitting there. So if you knock down the shul, you're going to rebuild it because you have the money, you have the cash sitting in the account. So Amar Lei, so Ravashi says back, Dilma Misramilu Pidyon Shvuyim. V'yavilu Shri V'yavilu. Maybe you're going to have Pidyon Shvuyim. There's going to be a captive who you need to spend money to redeem and to free. And then that money is going to be used for that need. Pidyon Shvuyim is doch almost everything. So even if you've collected the money and allocated it for a new shul, if it's sitting in the account, so there's nothing you could do about that. You're going to have to use the money, in which case, if you knock down the old shul and then you use up the money, no more shul. So it's no good. Okay, so then the Gemara says, okay, fine. Shrigi livni vahadri hudri umachti kshuri mai. Okay, fine. I don't have the money anymore because I bought all the materials. I didn't build the shul yet, but the materials are sitting on the job site. They're all there. I bought the bricks. I bought the beams. I bought the plumbing. I bought everything. I got it all. It's sitting here. I just didn't build it yet. So maybe then you could say you can knock down the old one. So Amar Lei says to him, Zimni dimisrami lu pidyon shvuyim, mizavni v'yavilu. Sometimes you're going to have pidyon shvuyim and you're going to sell all the stuff you bought, and then you're going to use the money to redeem the captives. So Yahachi, the Gemara says, if that's true, afilu banu nami. Okay, so even if you built the shul, so you could sell the shul in order to redeem captives. What's the difference if you have the shul is in pieces or if the shul is whole? If you think that if you're able to sell the shul or sell anything for pidyon shvuyim, so what's the difference? What the thing is that you're selling? You'll sell whatever you need to sell. So Amar Lei, dirasi deinshi lo mizavni. We don't sell people's homes, even for pidyon shvuyim. In other words, even though it's true that pidyon shvuyim is docha everything, what we don't require you to do is move into a box in Penn Station in order to sell your home so we can redeem people. That we don't require you to do. So if we can't raise the money without forcing people to sell their own homes, sell the roof above their head, So then there's no ability to do pinyon shvuyim. In other words, pinyon shvuyim is from raised capital, not from sold assets. Interesting. But velo amaran, and when is this true? Ela d'lo chazi batiyua. When are you allowed to knock down a shul and rebuild it? When you don't see something that's a weakened structure. So when is all this back and forth going to apply? Only if the shul is perfectly acceptable. It's standing, it's structurally sound, it's nice to daven in, it doesn't require any renovation. But if you see that there's a weakness, there's something wrong with the structure, it's going to fall down, it's old, it's broken, it needs to be rebuilt. So then, Sasri Ubani, destroy it and rebuild it no matter what, because again, and this is why the Gemara brings it up here, of course, is because we're talking about building codes, right? So if your building is going to fall down, so then that's a problem. So we want you to reinvest in the structural integrity of your building. And therefore, if you are seeing something wrong with the building, then these rules do not apply. You can knock it down and rebuild it properly, and that would be okay. Even though there's a concern of pshiusa, even though there is always a concern that you'll get negligent, you won't be able to rebuild it, doesn't matter. We allow you to knock it down because of the structural integrity problem. Fine. And how do I know? Ki hadar of Ashi chazo batiyua b'kinishin demas mechasya. Rav Ashi, he saw that there was a weakness. There was something wrong with the building in Mas Mechasya, the shul. Rav Ashi was the Rav of the city of Mas Mechasya. Sasre, so he knocked down the shul. V'ayel l'poriyei l'hasam. So then he moved his bed into the structure of the building. V'lo afke, and he did not leave, adem etakin le'shvichi. Until the last thing, the gutters on the edge of the roof, until those were installed as well. Rav Ashi moved in. Said, you're going to knock down the shul, part of the shul, whatever it was, fine. So you move in, and I'm not leaving until it's done. Why? So even though he's saying, even though it's true, if there's a structural weakness to the building, you're allowed to knock it down in order to fix it. But Rav Ashi's saying, he himself feels that you have to make sure there's no pshusa. You have to still make sure that there's not going to be any negligence. So he moved in order to ensure that the people wouldn't just say, it's okay, we'll daven somewhere else. No, nope, we're going to fix the shul. Now, the question, of course, in the halacha, which we're not going to get into, is Rav Ashi's story dispositive? Is it proving that you must move into the shul? And must you do something to that level? Or is it just saying Rav Ashi took it so seriously that he moved into the shul? But of course, min astam, it's mutter to do the renovation. Now, Tosus here raises a different problem. Yeah, different. I'm sorry? Yeah, so Tosus has a different problem, which is you're not sleeping in a shul. The Gemara in Megillah says, Mifuresh to Mishnah, says Mifuresh, you're not allowed to sleep in a shul. Now, you're definitely not allowed to sleep in a Beis Knesses, a Beis Medrash, Yesh Ladan. But a Beis HaKnesses, just a shul, which is the subject of our Gemara, although it has a lesser level of Kiddusha, because it only is ever used for one purpose, which is public tefillah, it's not used for any other thing. So none of the Hatayrim that apply to a Beis Medrash apply to a Beis HaKnesses. So Tosfos tries to say a Doch of Teretz, which is that no, Rav Ashi didn't sleep in the shul, he slept in the annex to the shul, and he cites the Gemara in Arvei Pesachim. Now, the Gemara in Arvei Pesachim says that the reason why we make Kiddush in Shul is because the Aniyim sleep and eat in the Shul on Shabbos. Now, if you don't have, the Rush already points out that if you don't have Aniyim sleeping and eating in the Shul, then making Kiddush in Shul is a Bracha Levatala. So all the Yekesh Shuls like ours that make a Bracha Levatala every Friday night, really they shouldn't do that. It's not the right thing because it's based on a misunderstanding of the Rush and the commentary in Arvei Pesachim. And Unu, Kach Nagu, so the Yekesh Shuls all make Kiddush on Friday night. Although, a lot of Yekesh Shuls post-COVID, they got rid of it. Because during COVID, nobody was making Kiddush in shul anymore. So a lot of the German custom shuls, they just said, okay, we got rid of it already, we're not bringing it back. Because everybody knows the Bracha Latal, you're not supposed to do it. But we brought it back for some reason, but no, okay, whatever it is, fine. So that's the minhag over here. But the proper thing is not to make Kiddush in shul, because again, there's nobody that sleeps in shul. If you have somebody that sleeps and eats in the shul, okay, that's a different story. But either way, Tosfos says, they didn't sleep in the benches in the main sanctuary. They slept in the hallways, they slept around the building. So there you could sleep, even though it's not the Beis HaKnesses. And there are those Rishonim that try to point out from Tosfos that it means that the Kiddusha of the Beis HaKnesses does not extend to the entire structure. It only extends to the room in which you daven. But rooms that are used not for davening have no Kiddusha of the Beis HaKnesses, and you can decommission them and use them for whatever purpose you like. So if you have a room in a shul that isn't used regularly for davening, so you could rent it out to do whatever you want with. Again, there's still Kalas Rosh issues, as Tosfos points out. You can't do it for things that are demeaning to the stature of a building that stands for a shul, but you can rent it out for things that are within appropriate bounds, but are not in any way inherently kedusha, have kedusha. Fine, that's Tosfos's point, and it stands. Okay, so now that we've established that if you want to build a shul or a new shul or reestablish a shul, you cannot do it until you've built a new building. You cannot knock it down and build a new building. So the Gemara now has a problem. Because if you look in the next line, the Gemara says, Ubava ben Buta, hechi asfale eitzo lehordos lemistri lebeis hamikdash. How could Bava ben Buta have given the advice to Herod to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Now, what's the Gemara's problem? Because as we're going to see, the Gemara is going to tell us the whole story in a second. But why are we bringing this up here? Because Bava ben Buta gave the advice to Herod to knock down the Beis Sheni and rebuild it in much nicer fashion. The original Beis Sheni was not a particularly impressive structure. Saying the Beis Rishon was good, the Beis Sheni was bigger but less nice, and then Herod knocked it down and rebuilt it to the proportions and in the style with which we are familiar with, which is the way that the Mishnah and Maseches Tamid and Maseches Midos describes the Beis Sheni. But there were two tkufas of the Beis Sheni. There was the pre-Herod and the post-Herod. The post-Herod was a significantly more impressive structure than the pre-Herodian Beis HaMikdash. So Gemara wants to know, how could it be that Bava ben Buta, Atana, gave the advice to Herod to knock down the Mikdash in order to rebuild it better? How is that possible? So let's see the story. So Gemara tells the story. V'amar Rav Chista, lo lister inish beknishta adabani beknishta achriti. We know the halacha, you can't rebuild it. See, by Yisema, one option is, why did Bava ben Buta tell Herod that he could destroy the Beis HaMikdash to rebuild it? Tiyo achazabe, it was weak. It was a bad structure. Right? And if you learn Sefer Ezra Nehemiah and Sefer Daniel, you see that it's not particularly surprising that the second Beis HaMikdash was not a particularly impressive structure, because it was the remnants of the people that were sent back by Darius to rebuild it, and it was not a particularly big structure. And they worked on it for a very long time, and they did the best job that they could, but it was a little bit slapdash. Okay. Iba Yisema, another option, is Machus Hashani Glohadrbe. Kings don't back out. There's no concern of Pshios with a king. Right? Now, what does that tell us? It tells us that the way that the Gemara is operating in terms of the halacha is that Pshi'usa is the one that we're concerned about, and not Mishum Tzaluyah, they're going to have another place. Why? Because you can't build another Beis HaMikdash, right? So if that's the case, and the raya for this is that, so that must be that the only reason why you would be allowed to not knock down the Beis HaMikdash to rebuild it is obviously because you might not rebuild it. And therefore, since it's a melech who's taking responsibility, that concern is pushed away.
Yeah, but how are you allowed to knock down things that would prevent you from doing the daily avodah?
Why does it prevent you from doing the daily avodah? The Mishnah in Maseches Megillah says that you could bring a carbon tamid even without climb, even without walls. The makom is bad. The makom, you could even build it with it. You could potentially even bring the carbon tamid without the mizbeach.
What's the problem? Then this is no proof that we for reason that we hold this the pshiusa.
No, it's only about pshiusa.
No, but
not saluye. No. If you're right, then it would be about saluye because you can't daven or do the avodah anywhere else. So you can't rebuild it somewhere else. So how could he tell him to knock it down? So therefore, what's the concern? The fact that he was able to tell him to knock it down is that the only concern is Pshios. And the reason why we're not concerned about Pshios is because of Malchus Hashani.
No, but...
If it was a concern of Tzaluye, then there'd be no solution.
That's my point, meaning...
So obviously that's not the concern.
No, meaning the concern doesn't apply in this case, because it must have been that they couldn't have done this if they were going to be Batel or Korbanot. If they were going to stop being able to bring...
They're going to be about to some things.
But then how could they do that?
Not the carbon tabi, but the rest of the avodah, sure.
Yeah, but how could they do that?
What's the problem with that?
Why should...
You don't have a mikdash.
So
one possibility needs to be rebuilt. And one possibility is, as we're going to see in the Gemara, there was other concerns that they had to take into consideration. Right? But either way, right, the Ali Pasha said Gemara... Obviously, the Gemara is citing this as a proof text that the concern is Pshiusa and not a concern of Tzaluye, because obviously there's nowhere else to daven. It's the Makom HaMikdash. You can't rebuild it somewhere else. Right? So there's no possibility of build it first and then knock down the old one. Well, it has to be in exactly the right spot. There's no other solution there. So you want to tell me you could do it in pieces, fine, but still, right? It has to be done only in that one spot. Right? That's very specific. So we're not worried about a malchus being mahader, and the malchus is not going to be poshea. They're going to rebuild the mikdash properly. The Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel says the Amar malchusa akarna turi akar turi v'lo hadarbe. If a malchus says they're going to uproot the mountain, they will take care and they will grind the mountain to dust. They do not back out of whatever they say. In other words, kings are not fickle. They, when they commit to doing something and they publicly announce they commit to doing something, they do so. Now again, to put on my kfira hat for a second, right? So in academics, right, you could say that in Rome that was the case. Right, Rome was world famous for their infrastructure commitment. right, for their infrastructure projects. And Herod was basically a puppet king of the Roman Senate. So it was not completely crazy to suggest that a Herodian or Roman dynasty would not back out of such a building. However, I don't necessarily think that this is true of all governments and all malchusim everywhere, because that's obviously not the custom, right? We have infrastructure projects here in New York that get backed out of on a daily basis, right? I'm saying the L train was supposed to be shut down and rebuilt, and then the governor had a tantrum, and that was it, no more. They didn't fix the L train, so it's still bad. It doesn't work, and they still don't have a plan to fix it, right? The Gateway project to build a tunnel under the Hudson River, supposed to be built 25 years ago. They just announced that they finally got the money today. Halavai that the money should actually make it into the tunnel. Let's see what happens. But it's not. I'm not holding my breath. So we'll see what happens. But again, so infrastructure obviously depends on the type of Malchus that we're dealing with, right? Malchus Rome, okay, so they were very good about their infrastructure, right? You can go today and see what the Romans built. It's very impressive. But if you look at other countries and other governments, not necessarily as a clear cut. Fine, okay.
Does it? Well,
yeah.
It seems that the Gemara is talking about, like, Malchut B'nai Adam, but presumably they could have given the Svara that you're not going to have a Pshia if you're talking about, Hashem's Kiviyachol bite.
Yeah, but the Gemara doesn't give that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's also... That's true anyway, but it's also because there was no Shechin in the Bayi Sheni. The Psikter Abbasi cites in multiple places that the difference in the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni is that there was no Shekhinah Shorah by Bayis Sheni. There's different reasons why that's true. I'm saying, but that's why there was no Eish on the Mizbeach, there was no Kodesh, there was no Aron, there's all kinds of things that were missing. There's no Shekhinah presence. That's why the Bayis Sheni was a disaster for most of its existence. It was mostly just an embarrassment to Judaism, because most of the people that were working there were not particularly Jewish. Right? First we had the Hellenists, then we had the Romans. Neither, for about 300 out of the 400 years of the second Beis HaMikdash, 420 years, was not especially a good look for the Jews. There were very few pockets of what we would call properly done service, right? Saying, maybe off recording, we'll talk about it a little more. Okay. Hordus Avda Beis Chashmonoi Hava. So who was this guy, Herod? So Herod was an Eved. He was a servant. He was a slave of the house of Chashmonai. Remember, the Chashmonai were Kohanim who took the Melucha, and they ruled during the Greek Empire in the first half of the Bayi Sheni. Havanasan Eino Ba'osa Tinokes, and he saw this girl that he wanted to marry. Yomachad Shamahu Gabra Baskala Da'amar Ko Abd Demarid Hashta Mitzlach. He heard a Baskol that said, any slave that rebels today, he'll be successful. He'll win out. So come, Katlinu Lakulu Maruse. He killed everybody in the house, Chashmonai, Vishayre Lahiyanuksa. And he left this one little girl alive. Right? It sounds like Game of Thrones. Ki Chazi Sahi Yanuksa. To Kabai Limin Siva. When this girl saw that he wanted to marry her, Salika Leigra, she went up to the roof, she went up to the balcony, Viramakala, and she shouted, Amra, Komanda Asiva Amr Beis Chashmonai Kasina. Anybody who says I came from the house of Chashmonai, avdahu, delo ishtayra minayu ala hiyanuksa. Nobody survived. He killed everyone except for this one girl. Vahiyanuksa, nafla me'igr la'ara, she jumped off the roof, or as the Gemara says, she fell off the roof, right, and she died. And what did Herod do? Tamna sheva shtin beduvsha. He preserved her corpse for 7 years in honey. So ikada amri ba'alea. There are those that say that Herod did this because he had a particularly craven and perverse taiva to have sex with a corpse. And Ika da Amri lo ba'alea, and there are those that say that's not the case. Da Amri la ba'alea, so the ones that say that he did have relations with this corpse, had tamla suvil yitzra. The reason why he preserved her is in order to continue to fill his desires. Uda Amri la lo ba'alea, and the ones that say that he didn't, so hi de tamna, the fact that he preserved her corpse, ki hechi de namru bas melech nasav. So people should say that he married a bas melech, I was married to her, right? I preserved her, right? But that's what it was, that he was really the rightful heir to that Hashem. That was the two versions of the Gemara. In other words, the Gemara is pointing out that either way, this guy is not a particularly good person, right? We don't see him as a particularly shining light example for the Jewish people. So Amar Man Darish, so what did they say? They said, they darshened in the Beis Medrash, Mikerav Achecha Tosim Alecha Melech. You have to bring a Melech from your brothers. Herod was a slave. not one of your achim. So you can't be the king. So Rabbanan come. Katlinu l'kula Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan, who said this, he got up and he killed all of them. So Shavki l'bav ben Buta. L'mishkal eitz aminei. But he left over Bava ben Buta so that he should have an advisor. But Bava ben Buta was still one of the chachamim. So ahader le'klila daily, he made a crown of thorns, or a wreath of thorns. Nakrinu le'inei, and he made him wear them around his face so that they should poke holes in his eyes so that he wouldn't be able to see anyone blind. So yom achad, asav yasav kameh. One day, Herod came and sat next to Bava ben Buta. Amar chazi mar hai avda bisha, my kavid. And he says to him, unbeknownst to Bava ben Buta, who can't see what, and he says, see what this crazy slave king is doing? So Amar Lay, my Avid Lay, what should I do about it? Bava ben Buta says back. So Amar Lay, so Herod, unbeknownst, Herod in secret says back to Bava ben Buta, Nilati Emar, curse him. So Amar Lay, so Bava ben Buta says back to the stranger, Ksiv, Gam b'mada acha melech al tekalel. You should never curse a king. So Amar Lay, Hai lav melech, he's not a melech. So Amar Lay, so Bava ben Buta says back, V'lehavi Ashir ba'alma. Okay, but he's a wealthy guy. Uksiv, u'v'chadri mishkav chal tekal Ashir. Can't curse a rich guy. So V'lo yehe el nasi. So he's only not even a nasi, even if he was just a leader. Uksiv nasi v'am chalo sa'or. So Amar Lay, ba'osam ay sa'amcha. So Herod says back to Bava ben Buta, what do you mean? Nasi v'am chalo sa'or only applies to somebody who follows the mitzvahs. V'hai la'vosam ay sa'amcha. This guy is a manuvel. He kills people, he kills rabbis, he preserves corpses to do unspeakable things to them. Terrible. So Amar Lay, so Bava ben Buta says back, Mistapin aminei. I'm afraid of him. So Amar Lay, Leka inish ta'azil delay malay. Ta'ana va'at yosivna. There's nobody here, it's just me and you. There's nobody to tell. The only person that knows is me. Don't worry, safe space. So Amar Lay, so he says back to him, Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Ki of ha-shamayim yolich es ha-kol, Uval kenafayim yagid davar. Right, Kohelis' version of the walls have ears. You say something out loud, it gets out. If you don't want it to stay out, if you don't want it to get out, don't say it. Right? So Amar Lay, Anahu, I'm Herod. He identifies himself. Had I known that the rabbis were so firm, that they were so protective of the appropriate approach, lo hava katil nulu, I wouldn't have killed them. So hashta mai takante. Tahu gavra. So now what should he do? What should I do to fix it? So Amar Lay, hu kava oro shel olam. He put out the fire of the world. Dechsev ki ner mitzvah v'torah or, because he destroyed the Talmid Chachamim. Yelech v'yasu v'oro shel olam. You should work and delve into the light of the world. Dechsev v'naru elav kol hagoyim. And that pasuk is referring to the bias sheni. Ika da amri hachi Amar Lay. Another version. Hu sima eno shel olam. You blinded the eyes of the world. Dechsev v'ayah me'inei ayida. The Chachamim give the approach. Correct. They're saying you blinded the world.
The basin was blinded.
Right. Again, because they were blind.
Meaning
it's not about the tents.
Hadn't been blinded.
They were otherwise.
Correct.
Otherwise,
in other words, the people that we rely on to teach us what to do are no longer there. Either that's because they make a mistake, that's the pasuk of Yomei Aida, right? Or alternatively, because Herod killed them all. Either way, we're in trouble. So Yelech V'Yizazik Be'Eno Shel Olam, you should go and deal with the eye of the world. Right, and we refer to Gaon Uzchem, which is referring to the Mikdash, as Machmad Einichem, the desire of your eye. So Amar Lay, so Herod says, Mistapinu Machusa, I'm afraid of the Romans. So Amar Lay, Shadar Shlicha, send a messenger to Rome asking if we could do this. V'lezel Shasa, it'll take a year to get there. V'leakiv Shasa, he'll stay there a year. V'lader Shasa, and it'll come back, take him a year. Adahachivachi Sasri Lay Ubinias Lay. So he said, but in the meantime, we'll knock it down and rebuild it. It'll be done. So Avadachi, he did it. Shalchulay, so they sent back to him. Imlos Satarta, Al Tistar. If you didn't destroy it yet, don't take it down. Vim Satarta, Al Tivni. And if you took it down, don't rebuild it. Vim Satarta, and if you destroyed it, Ubanisa, and you build it, Avda Bisha Basar da Avda Mismachin. You're a bad servant, you're a bad slave, and you're not and you came after real kings. Im Zayan Khalach, and if you think you're gonna get too uppity with us, Sifra Khan, Loracha Vlobaracha. We have your lineage, we have your citizenship, we know who you are, you're not a king, and you're not the son of a king. So Hurdis Avda Kalanya Mis Avid. So heard this, you are a bad servant, is what Rome sent back. My racha malchusa, what does that mean, racha malchusa? Dechsev anochi ayom rachu mashuach. Melech means that you are a king. Viva yisema mehach, another pasuk that says the same idea, v'ekru lefanav avreich, from the word rach. So Amri, Mishlo Rabin Hordas Lo Rabin Nam Yam. If you've never seen the building of Hordas, you've never seen a beautiful building in your life. So B'mai Banye, so how did he build it? So Amaraba, Babne Shisha Umar Mara, he built it with marble and other forms of precious stones. Ikad Amri Babne Kochla Shisha Umar Mara, he had blue stones with blue marble and other types of stones. So Apik Safa Vayal Safa, and it was built in a way that it was staggered. Kihechi Dinakabal Sidos, that it should be able to be plastered appropriately. So Savar L'Mishaye, they wanted to cover it with gold. So Amar L'Rabbanan Shavki D'Hachi Shaper Tvei D'Mechzi Ki Yodvasa D'Yama. The rabbi said, nope, leave it alone, because it looks like the rolling waves of the ocean, and that looks nicer, so don't cover it in gold. Ubava Barbuta Hechi Avarachi. Okay, so how did Baba do this? Amar Avidu Amar Ravi, Tem Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi, V'Teimam Enenesh Daniel Bnei Shesi Eitzel Nebuchadnezzar. Why was Daniel punished? Because he gave advice to Nebuchadnezzar on how to deal with the Jews. Shenemar lehen malka malchi yashvar alach v'chataach b'tzdaka prok v'avisach b'michan anyan hein tave arch l'shlusach uksiv, and right after that kulamata al nevuchanetzar malka uksiv, and it says in Daniel uktsas yarchin treasar, and 12 months later he was killed. So Yibayis Ema shani avdu dechayv mitzvos, an eved is chayv mitzvos, he's not the same as a rush like Nebuchadnezzar, he's still a little bit Jewish. Yibayis Ema shani bitamikdash lo malchus lo mizbani. Because if Beis HaMikdash requires a malchus to build it. If you don't have a melech, there's no way to do it. So therefore, Bava Muta felt it was important to give advice to Herod, even though it would have been better not to give him advice at all, just like with Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. With Daniel, Minal, and the Yadish. Okay, and how do we know Daniel was punished for his advice to Nebuchadnezzar? So Eli, Mishum, Mishum, Tikra, Esther, Hasach, V'Amarav, Hasach, Zed, Daniel. If you're telling that Esther called Hasach, and Hasach, Zed, Daniel, and Hasach ended up getting killed, Tanich, Amandam, Rashach, Hatchu, Migdil, Lasso. That's according to the Madam, who says that they took him down, they demoted him. But according to those that say that all the divrei malchus are cut according to him, meaning everybody's hanging on his every word, Michael Mimar, what's there to say? Sigmar says, they threw him into the lion's den, and that's how we know that Daniel got punished. So it turns out that at the end of the day, the reason why, A, it's mutter to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash even after you say to destroy it, is because malchus is shani. We need a malchus to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and it seems like the Gemara seems to think that the concern here is Nishum Shiusa, so as long as you have a way to ensure that there's not going to be any negligence, so then it won't be a problem. Okay, we'll stop here.